Sorry, I guess I should get started. I didn't realize what time it is. Okay. Cool. Well, why don't we open up in prayer, and then we'll just see what the Lord wants to do. And if you don't have a handout yet, be sure to grab one from our handout. But I'm going to ask you guys not to look at them yet. So keep them face down, because I kind of want to surprise you with the first few points. And you'll see it okay. So anyways, let's pray. Well, Holy Spirit, we welcome you right now, God. We welcome your presence, Lord. We welcome your vision. We welcome just your heart to be among us, God. I thank you so much, Lord, for just every person here, God, just for the calling that you put on their lives. God, I thank you for the passion that you put inside of each of us. God, I thank you that we are part of a larger movement, God, that is being raised up on the campuses of this nation, Lord. And we just are so honored, God, and just grateful to be a part of it, Lord. I know that, Lord, I just know that we don't deserve it. Lord, I know I don't deserve it, Lord. And I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace, God. And right now we just want to open up our hearts to receive everything that you want to say to us, God. We humble ourselves, Lord. We just come to the foot of the cross, Lord, to give this time to you, Lord, to receive anything that you want to say. God, I pray that your voice would override my voice, Lord, and that you would just bind the works of the enemy, bind all distractions of the enemy, crucify our flesh, Lord, and we just surrender to you, Father. We ask for more of your presence and just insight, Lord, and how we can begin to break through on our campuses, Lord. So yeah, we surrender to you. We just say you are worthy. We say you are awesome, Lord, that you're amazing, and we love you, Lord. We want to see you revealed on our campuses, Lord. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Well, it's an honor to be here. Some of you guys know my story a little bit, but I'm just excited to be here because 11 years ago, I was a student at Arizona State University, and I came to a campus renewal conference, and God began to ignite my heart with vision and with just practicals and how we could begin to see a movement birthed on our campus. And I was a junior at the time, and I graduated, and I just never left ASU since then. So God's just been doing some really cool things at Arizona State. And so I just wanted to share a little bit about that, and then and really hit on the topic of creating places of encounter on our campus. And so let's see. Just to give you a little background, at Arizona State University, we're actually one of the largest campuses in the nation. There's like 60,000 people like on the main campus, and then like 80,000 between four campuses. And so, when we talk about campuses being a city within a city, it's so true. It's its own world. You can get lost in it. I got lost there for like the first 3 weeks, and I was like the only one brave enough to have my map open, and just like, where am I, and I like purposely got myself lost everywhere just so I could figure out what the campus was like, So the topic is creating places of encounter, and my first question is, who or what are we wanting people to encounter? So feel free to just shout out whatever. This is the easy one, softball pitch. All right, Jesus, yeah, awesome. I think this is an important question, though, because how we answer this simple question and how well we understand how we're going to accomplish this will really determine how effective we are in creating a place of encounter. So, the first thought that came to mind is, we're not wanting people to encounter our programs. We don't want people to see how well we can put something together and impress them, because ultimately, they may be engaged for a time, but their life isn't going to change. We're not there to it's for them to encounter great personalities, you know, to make it this fun, engaging place. And so we're really after Jesus. We're really after the presence of God. And so we, you know, as we're kind of thinking about how do we create a place of encounter, we want to think about that primarily from the perspective of how can we invite and like welcome the presence of God into a place, you know? So do you guys have any thoughts on that? How do you create a place of encounter where like believers and unbelievers begin to encounter Jesus? So any ideas or thoughts? Just throw them out. Prayer, yes, you're right. What else? Worship, you got it. Any other ideas? Loving people, yeah. That's good, man. Any other thoughts? Yeah, what kind of things would attract and invite the presence of God into a place in such a way where believers and unbelievers begin to encounter him? Discussion forum, yeah. That's good. Kind of like a place where people can open up their hearts and share things. Yeah. Anything else that comes to mind? Say again? Skilled speakers. Yeah. That's good. Cool. I included a few more things in there. I included unity, of course, you know, we're learning, you know, that where two or three are gathered, he's with us. I put in there humility, that, you know, that the Lord is really drawn to humility. And I remember hearing someone say that, you know, when you're looking for where God's going to show up in revival, a lot of times the places you think he's going to show up aren't always the places he shows up. You know, sometimes it's like he isn't attracted to the flashy kind of, you know, programs and everything. He's more the kind of guy that, you know, would look for the most humble entrance into the building and just kind of sneak his way in there and see if anyone's going to notice him, you know? And so I love that, just the idea that humility draws the presence of God. I also put in there hunger and desperation. And I remember one revivalist, John G. Lake, he said, if I could impart just one thing to the entire body of Christ, I would impart the gift of hunger. And I've seen, and personally in my life, that hunger has opened up the door to like nearly everything I've ever experienced in the Lord. You know, just that just hunger, that desire for his presence, you know. I also put perseverance. And so anyways, those are just some ideas. I was good brainstorming. And so I had a thought. What if we figured out a way to combine all of those things into one space, you know, just like one place where it's just like anything and everything we could do to attract the presence of God, we just did that in like one spot. And then we just made it really welcoming and accessible for anybody to come in and experience Jesus, you know? What if there was a space where students across different ministries could pray, could worship, could humble themselves together, could seek God, could repent, unite, connect, love people, love God, you know, just be available for students 24/7. And I think most importantly, what if there is a place where people could encounter him and actually meet him, you know? So I just want to give you a little context for what ASU was like when I first came as a student. You know, I remember for 3 years, I wondered how on earth could God move at Arizona State University, because it was just so dark, you know. Like I remember the moment I would cross over onto the property of ASU, literally like bombarded with temptation, like overwhelming. There's such an overwhelming feeling of heaviness and darkness and just like isolation, you know, feeling like, man, I'm like the only Christian on the campus here. And even when I was hanging out with other Christians and at other ministries, you still felt like, I'm the only Christian here, you know, like nobody's really connected to each other. Nobody really knows each other. Like, you know, the ministries don't know what's happening with the other ministries. I remember my first experience as a freshman student was I was standing in line to get a parking pass. And I remember for about 15 minutes, my mind wandered off. And, you know, I grew up in the church. And at that point, I encountered the Lord, just loved Jesus. And I'm standing there And my mind starts thinking these crazy thoughts like, oh man, like I could live a life of sin and no one would ever know. I could just get away with it. And like, that's crazy. And then it's going on for 15 minutes and I catch myself and I'm like, oh my gosh, like what am I thinking? What's going on? You know, and it just became the beginning of this ongoing battle for, you know, my first 3 years on campus. And so, you know, I'm just wondering, God, how can you show up? How can you move in this place? You know, there was a pastor who, in Europe, who began to just, you know, he had been pastor for many years, and then God began to just put this burden on his heart for something more. Like, there must be something more. And it became so strong, he stepped down as pastor and just began traveling throughout Europe, you know. And in his travels, he discovered this community called Herrnhut. And you guys remember the story of the Moravians that Jeremy shared with us, you know, the first session of the week. He discovers this community of people that through their denominational differences, through all the infighting, they united. They began to reconcile together. They began to pray, you know, for like 100 years. And as a result of that, they began to give away their lives for the sake of love. You know, they began to go to the hardest and darkest places in the earth. And the stories are just incredible. People that were willing to go so far as to even sell themselves into slavery, you know, to reach the slaves. People who would buy coffins and throw all their belongings in there and be like, I'm never coming back. Like, I'm giving my life to love this people, you know. And so he discovers this and he's like, oh my gosh. And so that began kind of this youth prayer movement that began to sweep through Europe. And so I'm reading this book. It's called Red Moon Rising, if you ever want to check it out, by Pete Grieg. And I'm reading these stories about how these kids are setting up these prayer spaces, like in bars and in dance clubs and, you know, just the craziest of places. Someone set up a mobile little prayer space on wheels, you know. But the stories that came from it were amazing. Like, you know, there would be stories of atheists, you know, 1 minute didn't believe in God, didn't think he existed. They walk into the space and they encounter the presence of God for themselves. And suddenly they're weeping and they're like, oh my gosh, God is real. And they're, you know, they're giving their lives to Christ. So I began to think, what if there is a way we could set up a prayer space on campus, kind of like this, where any time of the day or night, you know, while students are studying in the middle of the night, whatever, like, you know, just a time, a place where people could just come and, like, meet with God. It doesn't matter if they believe in him. It doesn't matter if they don't. You know, it doesn't matter if they're atheist or whatever, Muslim, that they could experience the presence of God. And so God began to further confirm this, you know, when I came to a campus renewal conference and I began to meet other students, just as you guys are meeting other students that are on fire, love Jesus, you know, I began to meet other students that were like, man, we want to unite the body. Like, we want to see prayer movements happen. And some of them already were starting them. So I'm like, okay, like, I'm not alone. I'm not crazy, you know? And so that was just total confirmation. God confirmed that I was called to do something on the campus. And so kind of from that point, you know, we began. So what we did is we began to unite student leaders from different ministries. And we started off just like six of us the first semester. So we met, we prayed every week, we shared testimonies. It was awesome. God led us to do one day of 24-hour prayer during that time. And so we got together, just like tent, out in the middle of campus. And it was split up. It was like kind of an evening to an evening. So the first night, God kept speaking these verses about, I'm going to bring water in the desert, like rains in the desert, streams in the dry land. And so we're like, yes, we believe it, God, bring rain, you know, bring water, you know. And so the next day we were worshiping, and I happened to get a hold of the guitar, so I'm like, let's worship, guys. And I was thinking about that, and so we started singing the song, Let It Rain, you know, like, let it rain, God, let it rain, open the floodgates of heaven. And so anyways, as we're singing this, the biggest torrential downpour of rain begins to fall down right at that moment. And like, I'm bigger than anything I've ever seen in Arizona. And it was so powerful. The wind almost blew our tents away, you know? And it was crazy. It was like, oh my gosh. Like, you know, so we're like just getting pumped. We're like, you know, and just God just began to confirm me, like, I'm hearing your prayers. Like, I'm about to move on this campus. The next semester, God leads us to do 3 days of prayer. Someone ended up giving their lives to Jesus like the first day, and then just from the prayer meeting, and then 7 days of prayer, and so you know, we We did it. It was good. Some really cool things happened. And then the second year comes and God starts to speak to us. I want you guys to do 40 days of 24-hour prayer now. And so at that point, we're like, we barely survived 7 days. How are we going to do 40 days? You know, like, I remember that Sunday and the 7 days. I'm like looking at my clock like at least 20 times in that hour, you know. I'm like, okay, we barely made it over the finish line, just, you know, crawling over it. So God says, do 40 days. And so we're like, okay. And so we plant ourselves in a tent right in the middle of campus. And so the crazy thing about this is we initially wanted an inside space. We were like, we just want, like, intimate time with Jesus. We just want to connect with God. You know, we're not out here to, like, you know, whatever. But administration said, no, there's no places indoors, so why don't you just take this spot? And so they put us out in the middle of campus. And so we're, like, thinking, okay, like, we're thinking this is the enemy, like, keeping us from having a prayer space. It ended up being the best thing that could have ever happened to 24-hour prayer, because we get out there, there's thousands of kids walking by the tent every single day, but there's still a problem, and the problem is that every time we're there, everybody thinks we're crazy. Like, you know, like, as they walk by, you have, like, hundreds of eyes just burning into you while you're, like, trying to pray and, like, trying to just connect with God. Everybody just stares at us like we're, you know, we're crazy. And so we're just continuing in prayer. Well, on the second week, something happened that began to change everything. And I was telling someone earlier today, we accidentally stumbled into it. It's sort of intentionally, sort of accidentally, and so I'll explain what happened. So one day we're there just worshiping in the tent. There's like 20 of us, you know, or 15, 20 of us students just worshiping and praying. And, you know, as we're worshiping, like, people begin to pray and they're like, God, would you bring revival to this generation? Like, would you move on our hearts? Would you begin to open up the heavens and come down? Would you begin to pour out your spirit? You know, and then suddenly, like, as we're praying this and as we're pressing into this, the Holy Spirit takes over the prayer meeting, and suddenly we're no longer in control anymore. You know, we're just like, you kind of get scary, you know, and that happens. You're like, okay. So, like, people just start, like, weeping, you know, and people are like, their hearts are being broken for this campus. And suddenly one guy, like, breaks out and, like, starts speaking in another language, you know. We're like, okay, that was weird, you know. And I think someone gets an interpretation after that, which is also weird. And I'm like, man, that's crazy. Well, anyways, then, you know, we just continue. And then at some point, I'm just pressing into God, and I hear someone whisper next to me, and they're like, Chris. And I'm like, you know, that's kind of, you know, you're trying to just engage with God, and you're like, oh, what? I look over, and there's this girl. She's like, and she's on her knees, she's trembling, she's crying, and she's like, you know, I don't know what's happening to me right now. I'm shaking, I'm crying, I can barely breathe, and I'm really scared. What's happening to me? And I was like, I think this is God. Like, just keep your eyes on Jesus and let's just keep going. She's like, okay. So she's like, then it happens to the next girl, right? And then, so crazy things are happening. God has just taken over this meeting. And then suddenly, without anybody orchestrating this, we all just start shouting at the top of our lungs, and we just started declaring, you know, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is victorious, you know, at top of our lungs in the middle of campus, middle of the day, we're like, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is victorious. And then at some point, like, something happened, and it was just like the heavens just opened up, and like God came down, you know, and suddenly it was like just the atmosphere shifted. And instead of people, like, staring at us like we were crazy, suddenly people just stopped dead in their tracks, and they just started staring at the tent like what's happening there? Like, what is that? And they're like, and you could tell they were just longing, like, whatever that is, like, I want that. You know, I want to be in there. And one girl, like, stood there for 15 minutes just, like, staring at us, and we finally invited her in, you know? But kind of from that point on, everything began to change over the campus, and suddenly that feeling of isolation just, like, broke off. Like, suddenly, like, boldness began to fill our hearts as students, and then we just began, like, going out and just, like, praying for, like, anybody and everybody that we could find, you know. From that moment on, we just, like, you know, for the rest of the semester, we began to hear testimonies every single day of, like, people just, like, texting, calling, and being like, someone just got saved at the prayer tent, and like, awesome, you know, and then get another call, you know, girl from Cruz, and she's like, you know, this kid stopped by, wanted to borrow my cell phone, and for some reason, it was roaming, even though it's local, you know, so I said, like, I can't let you use my cell phone, but can I pray for you for anything? And then the guy just begins opening up about how he's been running away from the Lord the last year and a half, and he got in a bad relationship, and now, like, he doesn't feel like he can come back to God anymore, and so she's just, like, sharing the forgiveness and love of Christ, and, like, he's giving his life back to Jesus. And then we begin hearing stories of, like, you know, like, people, like, as they're walking to the student union to get food, instead of, like, going to the student union, their feet just gets redirected, and suddenly they're standing in the prayer tent, and they're just, like, weeping, and they don't know, like, where they are or what's happening, you know, I don't know why I'm here, and they're just encountering God, you know, and crazy stuff, like, two freshman students ended up finding a guy who had, like, a broken foot and, like, a cane, and they go up to him, and they pray for him, and God instantly heals his foot, and so he drops his cane, and he begins, like, jumping up and down, and, like, the guy, like, gives his life to the Lord, you know, and so story after story, like, just every day, like, testimonies began coming in of people coming back to the Lord, or, like, getting saved, coming to know Jesus, or just like something amazing happening, and this just, you know, became just an ongoing thing. And so kind of like from that point, I mean, I think one of the things that was really amazing about this is that there was a lot of students that were like really quiet, you know, and they were just like, they're not leaders, they're not outgoing, they're really quiet, they're really nervous about, or, you know, being around people. And when the Holy Spirit poured out over us, it was like, it's like they were transformed, you know, and suddenly they were like going out and praying for everybody they could find, you know. So one girl, she started like hugging people, and as she would hug them, like they would just start weeping and start encountering the presence of God, like including like leaders too. She'd go up to leaders, and one leader's like, it's just like my mom hugging me, you know, and he's like, he's crying. I mean, she just, you know, this girl who was like in the deepest depression of her life just a few months before that, and you know, just in the most broken place, suddenly it was, you know, transformed, and she was like super, super bold. I mean, just like praying for everybody. It was like everything just like began to shift over the campus, and kind of from that point on, we just began to have seasons of prayer every semester after that, and from anywhere from 20 to 40 days of prayer, you know, and so that's been going on the last 11 years, and we've just been, you know, since then, so many amazing things have been happening. You know, shortly after that, the second semester after this happened, a Muslim student walks in, or he looks in while we're worshiping, and he's like, hey, like, can I join you guys? But like, I'm Muslim, just so you know. And we're like, yeah, just come in, we're just worshiping Jesus, you know, worshiping God. And he's like, okay. So he like walks in, and he ends up staying there for the next 2 hours while we're worshiping. And then a girl walks up to him, and she's like, hey, like, do you know Jesus? And shares the gospel. He ends up giving his life to Christ. What's crazy is that the story doesn't end there. So then after that, he begins coming to this 24-hour prayer tent every day for the next 40 days for about 3 to 4 hours a night. And so this guy's coming in, we're like declaring scripture, we're like, he's getting discipled by like the worship songs and by like the scriptures that we're declaring. And it was amazing, you know? And then people started coming to me, and they're like, hey, I'm kind of concerned that this guy doesn't really know what he did, that he might have just gotten tricked into it. And so we're like, okay, I'll talk to him. And so, you know, went up to him, and I was like, hey, do you know the difference between, like, being a Christian and being a Muslim? And he's like, oh, yeah. And he starts laying out all the differences of, like, following Jesus versus being Muslim. And I'm like, okay, cool, man. That's awesome. And then he's like, but I am concerned that if I have to go back to, you know, whatever country he was from, I'm concerned that I'm going to have to no longer be a Christian because, like, in my country, if you're a Christian, you can't work. You know, if you're a Christian, your family will disown you. And so I was like, oh, man, you know, I totally, you know, I see where you're coming from. And I was asking God what to say. And I was like, you know, I feel like God wants you to just so fall in love with him and so be captured by his heart and by your relationship with God that even if you do have to go back one day, that, like, you would never, it wouldn't matter if you lost your job. It wouldn't matter if you lost even your family, that, like, you would never give up that relationship with Jesus, you know. And so he thought about it for a while, and he's like, yeah. And so next week I'm talking to him, and he's like, he's telling me about how he's getting plugged into a church and then a Bible study. And he's like, you know, even if I have to go back, I never want to like lose my faith in God, you know. And by the end of this 40 days, you know, as a 40-day-old Christian, I remember he said something that was really profound. He said, with so much conviction, he was like, if we don't pray, how will the Holy Spirit fall? And I'm just like, oh my gosh, a lot of Christians don't know that, you know, like, and here's a 40-day-old Christian. And so, you know, I mean, just crazy things have been happening since then. We've had, you know, the president of the Atheist Club on campus come into this 24-hour prayer space and just like start weeping at the forgiveness board, just like asking, how can I learn how to forgive, you know? And we had another atheist of the same, the Secular Freethought Society, he actually had it wasn't in the prayer tent, but it was during this time that we're praying for people to encounter God. He was reading a book on prayer as the president of the Atheist Club, and then he has a supernatural encounter, and the words just become 3D, and he's like, oh my gosh, like, what's happening? And so he ends up stepping down, and then like becoming a believer, you know. And so yeah, just really cool thing stories, really crazy things have happened. I guess one last thing I want to share, just as far as some of the things that have been happening, is you know, I was telling someone that at the time we started this, we were the number one party school in the nation, and this was like just by a lot of rankings. This was like, you know, just a lot of authoritative party evaluator rankings, and I know one of them, but I don't want to say it. So anyways, we were number one on just a lot of their lists, you know. But ever since this prayer began to happen on campus, the rankings steadily started declining, and now like we're not even on a lot of those lists anymore. And the New Times actually came out with this article about the death of ASU's party reputation, and it had a picture of a gravestone on it. And it said, you know, rest in peace, RIP, beer. And then they made some jokes about us being like BYU and, you know, the Mormon University. So, you know, a step in the right direction. So I want to talk a little bit about why a place of encounter, why a 24/7 prayer tent. And so if you guys could break out your Bibles really quick and just help me out here. I just need a few people to read. Okay, so could someone look up Isaiah 56:7 and read the second half of the verse? So raise your hand if you're up to reading that. All right, cool, Eric. If someone could read Acts 2, I guess 1 through 2. Anyone interested? Okay, awesome. If someone else could read Luke 18, verse 7 through 8. Anybody interested in reading that one? Okay, awesome, Melody. Amos 9, 11 through 12. Anyway. Awesome, and that's all. Yeah. Okay. So, go ahead and who's got Isaiah 56 again? Okay. Here, well, I'm just gonna give you the mic so you can read.
Verse 7. Yeah, the second part of it. Okay. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations.
Okay. So let me ask you a quick question. What does that mean? To be a house of prayer for all nations. What does that mean to you guys? Like, just maybe shout out a few things really quick. A family? Yeah. That's good. Anybody else have any thoughts of what it means to be a house of prayer for all nations? Yeah. Cares about every people group, no respecter of persons. Anybody else have a thought? Okay, let me tell you what I'm getting from this verse. God's desire has always been that his presence would be accessible to every person from every background, from every nation at all times, you know, and so to me, like, I think about that, you know. I remember hearing people say that sometimes the church is the most underused piece of real estate in the nation. You know, you meet once a week and then it just kind of stays locked up the rest of the time. But like, his desire is that his presence would be accessible to every person from every background, every nation, a place for every person. It doesn't matter where you grew up in or where you came from, how culturally different you are. It's a place that everyone can call home, you know, like a place where it's like, because like home isn't like any location, like home is his presence, you know. It's like, and so it's like bringing, you know, that house of prayer into our college campuses, which is a place where all nations are gathering. You know, like I know at ASU, there's 190 nations in the world, and 120 of them are gathered in ASU right now. You know, many of them unreached people groups. And so God desires that his presence would be known. Psalm 22:3, the King James, it says that God inhabits the praises of Israel. So God inhabits the praises of his people. Okay, Acts 2:1-2. All right, let me give you this really quick.
When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting.
Okay, this is something that I'm so thankful for. I had a conversation earlier today. It was amazing. This is something I do need to say related to this. I feel like, okay, so they were in the upper room. They were in one place together, united, and they were waiting. What were they waiting for? Say again? Yeah, the promise, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I feel like it's easy to get sidetracked sometimes when we pray. Because, and you know, we heard a lot about prayer, and we've heard just so many good things about how can we pray effectively, specifically, strategically. I think sometimes that one of the things we overlook when we come together to pray is to actually pray and press in for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You know, like we pray oftentimes for specific things to change. You know, we pray for, situations to change. We pray for, you know, individual encounters to happen. But the thing that I've noticed that we, and I feel like the thing that God's beginning to kind of restore is this idea of we need a corporate outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Like, we need God to show up on our campuses. You know, revival is God's arrival. You know, and so we need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because if we get that, everything is going to begin to change. You know, like our hearts, you know, just get ignited with fire. You know, we begin to go out, and I mean, that's the crazy thing is when we saw the students in our group, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, no one had to tell them, in a sense, like, go out and start loving people, go out and start praying for people. It was like they just couldn't help but do that. You know, it was like everywhere we went, there was such a faith where it was like I remember, like, in every one of our hearts, we would begin to go out, and there was such a faith that whoever we prayed for was going to encounter Jesus right then, right there in that moment. We had like no doubt. It didn't matter if they're atheists, if they're Muslim. It's like God's going to show up right now. Their life is never going to be the same, you know? And so I think one of the most important priorities and pursuits that we need to have and to press into with, you know, as we pray with our core team families, as we pray with our leader connect groups, is to pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You know, and if you think about it, that was really the only difference between before Acts and then afterwards, you know? It's like that was the only difference between, that was the only reason why the book of Acts was written. That was the only reason why the rest of the New Testament was written, was the Holy Spirit poured out, and he transformed 11 men who were afraid, intimidated, you know, like afraid to be identified with Jesus, and suddenly they couldn't help but talk about what they had seen and heard, you know? And so I guess really quick, I'll just go through the last two verses. Luke 18 just talks about how will not God bring speedy justice and breakthrough to those who cry out to him day and night. Amos 9:11-12 talks about, and this is actually really cool, you can study this later in your own time, it talks about how in the last days that David's tent would be restored, and that would be a key in bringing in the harvest among the nations. And so, you know, what was David's tent? It was the hosting of the presence of God. It was a place where day and night they hosted the presence of God. They ministered to him in worship, in prayer, and in sacrifice day and night for 30 years. You know, and God says in the last days, I'm going to restore this again. There's going to be tents. There's going to be people that are just going to host my presence and bring my presence into places. And then the last thing I said is that is Revelations 4. If you can look it up later, but Revelations 4:8-10, it just talks about how in heaven day and night, they never stop crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." So like when we're talking about bringing heaven to earth, what does it look like in heaven? You know, like right now, like in heaven, people can't stop worshiping Jesus. Like in heaven, like his presence is there continuously. You know, in heaven, people are seeing him, experiencing him. And so our goal with these prayer spaces and these tents are really to host the presence of God and to invite him to dwell on our campus. And if you just want to pick this up, I just want to let you know, I put together this sheet because I knew we weren't going to be able to cover a lot of this, but I wanted to give you some practicals on how to create a space of encounter on your campus. And the first thing I mentioned, I'll just go over it really quick, is gather a core group and get some vision. Next page, if you turn it over, share that vision, partner with others, all stuff that you know. Finding location. One thing I do need to tell you is if you're going to do this, you need to implement prayer covering for you and your core team. This is absolutely crucial. I believe this is the number one reason why most things aren't birthed on college campuses. When Christians get on campuses and things don't last, like either aren't birthed or they don't last, I believe the number one reason is because lack of prayer covering. Because we don't realize how intense the spiritual battle is on our campuses, you know, and so I can't emphasize it enough. Don't underestimate this. Like, find prayer warriors, find fathers and mothers, people who can cover you in prayer when you go to set up a space on campus, or really when you do anything on campus, you know, and you want to birth a movement. Not putting this into place could put you in a dangerous situation. So I'd encourage you guys to connect with fathers and mothers, keep in touch with them, communicate well with them, at least like weekly or biweekly. There's an international ministry called Moms in Prayer, and when they started praying for us, everything shifted on the campus. It was like all the warfare like just stopped, and suddenly we got breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. Mobilize. I put some tips on there. Create a space. Create a culture. Logistics. And then at the very end, I just put my email address. So like if you have any questions, if you want any help on just like direction or how to you know put stuff together. If you just even want just all the documents that we put together, as far as like here's, you know, here's stuff that's already been created, so that way you don't have to like create it. You have it ready to go. You can just mobilize and get people together. We'd be happy to send those to you guys. And so, I guess with that, why don't we? Okay, one last thing, and then I'll close. Sorry. You wanna ask your core team as you're creating this place of encounter. What kind of culture do you want to create in this space? Disneyland has a culture. When you walk into Disneyland, like everybody's ready to welcome you. You know, everybody, their motto was the happiest, the happiest place on earth. And so the culture was when you get in there, everything's designed to be that. There's music, there's happy music, there's people that are like, you know, they're called cast members because they're there to give you an experience. And, of a magical world, of a happy world. So my question is, when you put this 24/7 prayer tent together, what do you want people to experience when they come in there, and what do you want them to come away with? And so for us, that was, it was like when people come, I want every person to know that Jesus loves them. You know, I want every person to come away knowing that they've experienced God, that they've encountered him, that he's real, that he loves them, that he knows them, and that if they need healing, they're going to get healed right then and there, you know? And so we were just really intentional about modeling that culture and then, like, praying for everybody that came in. And so, I'm going to go and close up. I know that our time is up. And so let me just close this in prayer. And God, I just thank you so much for just every person here. God, I thank you that you're going to use them in incredible ways, Lord, to host your presence, Lord, to bring people into encounter with you, Lord. And so right now, I just bless them, God. I pray for every person that you're beginning to move on their hearts, Lord, and you're beginning to burn on their hearts to unite students together, to create a place of encounter, to begin to see the heavens open up and the atmosphere shift Right now, Lord, I just want to pray an impartation, Lord, of everything that you've given us here at ASU, Lord. With just seeing a place of encounter, I just release that grace over my brothers and sisters right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just declare that they are anointed, Lord, to shift the atmosphere, that they are anointed to break the heavens open and to see the Spirit poured out over their campuses. And so, yeah, in Jesus' name, I just release that over them. Lord, I just declare a grace to unite, God, a grace to just to create a culture of faith, create a culture of expectancy, and create a culture of encounter, God. And so just bless my brothers and sisters. And yeah, just thank you so much for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And one last thing. thank you, Jesus. One last thing. I just wanted to let you guys know we're coming out with, I'm coming out with a book in 2 months. You can actually pre-order it on a flyer back there. And I mention it because there's so much more that I wish I could share and so much more I wish I could